Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 560 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper and joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
560, holy shit.
560, we made it. Colton is feeling a little bit under the weather after his world travels, so he'll be joining us next week, I hope.
It's funny, like we made it, like 560's the fucking big number that we've been waiting for.
560, huge news coming out. Yeah, so we got a couple new patrons, a tiny little bit of LeagueCast news. We'll talk about Audible again. We've got Astari, and then we're going to jump all the way into competitive league, I think, because we've got a lot to talk about in the finals. And then we'll hear from our friend at Nord, close it out with Roundtable and Mail Fight. Aiden, how was your week, buddy?
My week was great. Worlds was fucking crazy. We all hung out to watch Worlds, which was awesome.
In person, PogChamp.
Yeah, we chose a really good year to fucking do it.
We sure did.
We'll definitely talk about that a little bit more for that section, so I won't go over too crazy. But I think we had a fun weekend. We played some board games. We watched some fun stuff. It was really fun. I want to do more of hanging out with you guys because you guys are very pog.
I agree.
I'm not going to say my actual feelings. Like, I feel mushy and be like, you guys are good friends and stuff. But, but like, it was pog.
No, it was fun.
Yeah, no, it was good. Sorry, I'm still a little bit sick. I've had this fucking cold for like over a month now, but I'm pretty good. Outside of that, nothing really, because I mostly hung out with you guys for the last week. So I didn't play like a ton of League. I didn't play any other games. I guess I played. I'm now officially master tier at the end of the season, like official. Which is nice. You're getting close, but I'm sure you'll talk about that a little bit.
I hope.
And yeah, I might play a little bit of my Smurfs, I guess. But other than that, I'm kind of just like planning ending the season. I want to play a couple of duo queue games that I owe some people, from like an old stream thing. But other than that, it's been really, really good. I've had a good season of ranked.
Nice. I would agree. I think, you've had a lot of success this season. Hopefully it's been fun.
It is a weird balance of like, I'm really happy with how I ended. Cause I ended like before I like just like played some games for fun. I ended like 63% win rate master tier, which is crazy with like 50 games. There is something of like, maybe I shouldn't be able to do this.
Like maybe you should have to play more games. What do you mean?
Yeah. It feels like, cause in theory, if I really gamed it, if I played literally, I didn't play the entire season. Then the last month I played, I think I could have hit master in like 20 games.
Yeah. Like assuming all the games went the same. Like route.
Yeah, I sold like a 60% win rate. Like started.
Yeah,
I think I would have been close to at least like the definitely like under 30, which feels a little maybe too easy. Which I mean, that's part of the reason my master tier is so inflated and like the whole Riot client thing. If you go, if you're master tier right now and you hit the rank tab, your client lags, like it almost breaks your client. And if you're on EUS, which has even more master tier players, it sometimes crashes your client if you look at the master tier tab.
Cool. That's awesome.
Which is like, it's a mix of like first Riot's clients dog shit. I'm not sure to defend that, but also it probably is overinflated, like right now.
I don't know. I almost feel like it can't be overinflated just based like just in for my own philosophy being like it shouldn't matter unless there's a limited number of like slots, you know. Like if I don't know if there were like 10,000 people that were masters, I would be fine with that, I think. But I do understand the frustration. Like the more players you get in a spot like that, the lower the game quality tends to be, typically. So I mean that's understandable.
It just feels very easy to camp it, I guess, which I guess is part of the issue that they like. Remember I last year I was talking about how I think Apex Decay tiers are like ridiculous, having to play every day for master tier. But I mean they made it easier this year, not by like a lot, but a little bit easier, and now you have 6,000 people or 5,000 something people sitting master tier, right? Which
do you have any numbers for prior years?
I'm pretty sure, like, I saw a post about this last year. I think there was, like, 3,000 to 4,000 people in Master here at the end versus, like, 5,000 now. So it's a substantial difference. And then if you go back a couple years, I think it was more like there was like 1,000 to 2,000 people in Master Tier.
I do think people are like objectively getting better at the game though. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. And but in theory,
probably not to that. That doesn't account for all of those numbers.
Yeah. I mean, definitely the decay things that they changed was a little bit probably causing this, which I don't think is a bad thing. I do think it's like you can play the game casually and be Master Tier, and decay is it's a mechanic that if you have casual people trying to abuse a decay, it leads to worse quality games, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, literally last game I played this season, I don't give a fuck if I win or I lose it because I get Master Tier regardless, but I'm playing it. And I'm someone who tried that game. That being said, I'm sure there's a ton of people who just go, oh, I don't fucking care, man. I'm gonna try out Cassante because it doesn't matter if I win or lose this game because I am Master Tier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of a discussion for another time. But I'm happy because I ended Master Tier. Hoping you end Master Tier. I think Colton, it's a little bit harder for him, but I hope both you end Master Tier. That'd be cool.
If there's anyone who could do it, though, yeah. I feel like it'd be Colton.
He is a little sick, but assuming he gets better, I think he can grind out another 100 games in a week.
Yeah, he's sick, and then he can turn on he can flip the switch, the good teammate switch, and then just be sick, you know?
Yeah.
So
right now he's set to bad teammates, but he just needs to just flip it.
He should really change that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that he hasn't.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Anything else?
That's kind of it for my week. Nothing too crazy. Next week, God of War comes out. I guess it's in like 2 days or something like that. I'm really excited to play that. And then after I beat God of War, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet come out. I'm excited to play that. And then I also want to play fucking Death Stranding.
Really? The Norman Reedus game?
Yeah, because like I've only heard shitty things about it, right? It being like a fucking walking simulator type game. Yeah. And then I read one Reddit comment that was like, hey, this game's always pitched as a walking simulator, like shitty game. And then I played it and I fucking think it's one of my favorite games. And I'm like, this one Reddit comment is enough for me to try it.
That's so funny, actually.
I mean, it's because it's like the exact opinion that I have. I'm like, fuck, every single time I read something about it, it's the exact same thing and it sounds boring. But this one guy was like, I thought these exact same things you're thinking, but I like it, so...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But okay. I'll try it.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it's good.
That's playing my week.
It's only on PlayStation, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you would get it for console anyway, right?
Yeah, I think it's on what's it called? It's on the PlayStation Plus Pass anyways. Yeah. I pretty well just fucking play a game of that from every month, dude. It's so sick. I've gotten so much value out of
that. I mean, that sounds awesome. cool. Cool.
Yeah, what about you?
We went up to Canada, had a really fun time, went there for too long, but, you know, had a good time, watched probably the best Worlds that has ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty sick. What else? I played a pretty good amount this week, I think.
we played a little bit a couple days ago together. Those games went pretty well.
Yeah, they went pretty well. I'm up to D1 45 points. I don't know where I was last week, but we're getting there. I was at 63 yesterday, I think, and then we had a little incident, a little
I think you started incident. The day at 4 though, so like you I went did. Up 30 yeah, on yeah. the day, which is nice.
Definitely positive LP, which you know is all I can ask for at this point. So we're grinding, we're making it. I'm just having fun playing the game. There's like definitely some games that are really frustrating. But even when I lose, like it wasn't super bad, you know. Sorry, you can go ahead.
I was gonna say it's like a similar thing. It's funny because like I think both of us think League's in a really fucking good state overall. Like I even don't think top lane's that bad. That being said, we both of us. Every once in a while, you have those games where it just fucking breaks you. You being like playing support and be like, I'm fucking zero gold fucking shit can fucking roll. And then that joke that game I played where I felt like I was winning lane so hard and then I just got fucking fisted off like I traded one Warwick for one game? And then like I and then I lost four waves to turret and then he permafroze on me and I'm like, dude, I actually just makes me want to fucking Minecraft myself.
Yeah, when you get games like that, it's not very fun. I dropped an 18-3 and 28 luck support game that we lost, which was, I had fun playing the game, but I wouldn't lie if it was like, you know, definitely not the most fun game, I would say, just based on the result. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it is a team game. It's not just my performance that matters. So it,
sure.
I'm having fun trying to just keep it, you know, within reason. I figure I've already gotten hot, like this year higher than I ever have before. So I'm still improving. I'd love to hit masters and finish masters. But if I finish D1, 0 points, like I'm fine with that too. I wouldn't be as happy, but hey, whatever. That's still a good year.
As long as you improve every year, I think it's like a good feeling, right?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely getting better at the game, so, which is shocking.
Where'd you end last season?
D1 0.
Oh, D1 0. Okay, yeah. Let's just end above there.
Yeah, D1 1. Poggers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to count it as like peak being higher than, or being like more important than where you finish.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Like, it's definitely not something that's important to me, is like, I feel like if you peak, like Colton peaked like Masters 150, which is fucking sick. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold it against him if he finishes like D4, you know, like he's not a D4 player, clearly, regardless of him finishing there. So that's where my headspace is at.
Hell yeah.
Otherwise, I think that's pretty much it. I want to be excited for God of War, but I haven't played the first one. I've watched a playthrough of the first one.
The first one's so fucking good.
Yeah, the first one is crazy good.
I watched so many compilations of the big moment. I'm not going to spoil it
because I'm playing through right now.
But like, I played through the game and I was like, oh, I was kind of sad about like obviously not having that X thing, right?
Yes.
And then it gets to the moment and I'm like, holy fucking shit, dude, this game is the best game I've ever played. And then I went online and just watched people having like that reaction.
Will you type it to me so I know which one you're talking about? Because I feel like there's two big moments.
Yeah, that one. Like when you.
Okay. Yeah, the other one I thought was this one.
Oh yeah. That's also
which,
crazy. But
both of which are like holy fuck. But yours is definitely more of like a.
It's like you're playing the entire game. It's like 10 hours in or whatever, and I was like, "Fuck that!" This the only thing that's missing is like X thing, right? And I will try to stop talking vaguely about it because I'm sure that's miserable. But then I was like, "Holy fuck!" This game just like went from like a 10 out of 10 to an 11 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. I have to watch back. I don't even know how it like the. I don't know the detail. I don't remember the details around it. So
I'll have to refamiliarize myself
with it.
It's so sick. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Awesome. Should we get into the show then?
We probably should, yeah. There's not like a ton of news, but we can talk about some stuff.
Riot's been slacking on the news. Did we do the patch last week?
We didn't, but like it's also like now a week past, and it was also a mini patch because it's like preseason, so
yeah.
There's some small changes. Nothing was huge, though. I'm not too worried about missing patch for 1 week.
Okay. Hey, you heard it here. Yeah, shout out to our two new patrons, Angel Aholic and Nicole. Thank you for your support.
We'll read out the full list at the end of the show as well, because it's the new month.
Oh, I forgot we did it on the 31st.
Last time.
Gotcha.
We'll crush that out at the end.
Yeah.
I'm just looking, by the way, through the patch just to make sure there wasn't anything missed. The only thing that was at all kind of interesting was the Maslahar E change, which makes his EX gear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the Cassante. Cassante came out.
Yeah. But it doesn't show all this shit, right? We'll talk about him like maybe next week, because both you and I think he's sick.
We definitely think he's like really, really hard to play, but really strong.
Mm-hmm. I think he's like actually, like I feel like the average person take right now is that he's weak as fuck and needs buffs. And I think that they shouldn't buff him. I think he's actually already above average, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a mistake if they buff him.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Do we have any LeagueCast news?
Nothing too crazy. I know Colton has hopefully a Patreon prepped for later this month. So you can check that out when it gets released. I'm doing next month and I have some things in my brain they're cooking right now. We'll see if they come to fruition. Outside of that, nothing too crazy. Oh, I wanted to announce that we haven't done community games in like a month because all of us have been grinding for, end of season. That being said, I want to do community nights after the rank season ends, so I'm currently tentatively planning for either the 15th or the 17th. Could also be the 16th, who knows, but I'll put an announcement in the Discord on the day that we do it. Show up, it'll be fun. We haven't done them in a while and I've been missing it a little bit, so
yeah definitely. It's we're all trying to cram in games to get to the end, but it'll be fun to get back to them.
Oh, also they made it so like the current worlds quests for like the pass or whatever work in customs. Did you know that?
No, that's sick.
I don't know if it's a bug or not, but it feels like a bug, but it works in customs, which is crazy. So
awesome. Finally.
I mean, should do that. Like, if you want to fucking sit in a custom and do farm shit, man, I don't think it's like that big of a deal. Like,
Nice.
Cool. Cool. Let's hop into the meat of the show, which is nothing really. There's no real news. There's tons of roster stuff, which we're going to talk about when rosters actually get announced, probably in the pro league section, but we're not going to talk about announcements. We might talk a little bit about like the crazy, crazy shit. But not just like basic shit.
Sure. Yeah.
Only other thing was that they officially announced that the two League of Legends Riot Forge games are being delayed till 2023. Kind of not a surprise at this point. It's the Song of Nunu one and then the Echo Convergence one. I mean, it's kind of makes sense at this point. It's already in November. The only other piece of news that we're going to get from Riot by the end of the year is a fucking update for the League of Fighters game. What's it called?
Project... Z? No. Project L?
Project L, yeah.
Project
yeah.
L. Why so did I say Project Z?
We should get that in a couple weeks, which is awesome. Yeah. And also, I know they're doing a bunch of like stuff leading up to the Arcane anniversary, the 1 year anniversary. I'm hoping that at the end of that, they announce like a trailer or like a date or something like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I think it's probably not going to come out till end of 2023, but it'd be cool if we got a trailer. That'd be sick.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet is like not soon.
Yeah,
but awesome. Cool. Do we even hear about Audible?
Yeah. So I just wanted to like shout out all of our fucking listeners. First of all, you guys have already like a bunch of you like got our Audible subscription and probably, I'm assuming, downloaded Ruined King, which is awesome. I appreciate you guys doing that. I just, at the end of the day, I just want more people to fucking listen to this book because I've been listening to it on my like 30-minute trips to and from work every day. I think I have like 6 hours left. But anyways, yeah, we're sponsored by Audible. So Audible is fucking awesome. I'm sure you guys have all heard of it for a long time. The main reason why we decided to partner with Audible for this month is that the Ruined King book came out, I think, like 2 months ago at this point. We've heard only good things from our Discord. I started listening to it and it's fucking awesome. Nick actually, I think, is downloading it probably like in the day or two. He's gonna start listening to it.
Yeah, I wanted to listen to it. Doing it like literally today.
Yeah, so we're all really excited. We're probably gonna do like a little book club type thing after we finish it. So if you want to be included on that, you're more than welcome to try out our link and get a book for free for 1 month. You can visit audibletrial.com/leaguecast. The link will be in the description. Links on our Discord. The link will be everywhere. You can find it. Everyone knows all the good stuff about Audible, though. They have tons of podcasts, tons of books, insane catalog of books. I think they're obviously the biggest Audible audiobook seller in the world. But anyways, if I think for our listeners, it makes the most sense to try out the Ruined King book, Ruination. It's so fucking good. Please try it out. If you want to use our code LeagueCast, it's audibletrial.com/LeagueCast. Please listen to it. Also, if you just already use Audible, which I'm sure tons of the listeners do, please listen to the book. It's so fucking good. Even if you don't use our trial, listen to the book. It's so good. We're going to do a roundtable or a book club on it in like a month or so.
Hell yeah.
audibletrial.com/LeagueCast.
how long is it? It's like
13 hours, something like that.
Ooh, nice and juicy too.
It's a good length, yeah.
Nice. Cool. We have one starry from NA Lime, Nalime. Says 5 stars, awesome podcast. Just started playing League. First game I played in like 10 years, and they really do a great job of explaining any changes going on in the game and giving tips and tricks. Thank you, NA Lime, Nalime.
Naleem.
It's hard to read that one, but thank you very much. Sweet. Let's talk about finals because
the meat of
boy
the show.
Howdy. Yeah, the meat of the show. We're definitely going to be talking about this for quite often. Should we preface this by just saying best finals in history?
Yeah, okay, and also we're obviously going to spoil it. But
yeah, I mean, yeah.
I feel like that makes sense though.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this was the second game in world history to go, or second finals in world history to go to 5 games. We looked that up, right?
Yeah,
it went to 5 games with DRX winning. Probably, I mean, definitely the biggest underdog win in League history.
It will be the biggest underdog win for the rest of League's history too, probably.
Probably, considering that I don't think a single person had DRX winning, let alone I feel like the vast majority of analysts had it being like 3-1, 3-0, let alone DRX winning is the way I wanted to say that.
I mean, the fucking best part about it is I think people had every team beating them every stage of the way too.
Yes.
Like even in planes, people had RNG finishing over them in group stage. I don't think people had them finishing first in their group because their group had Tess in it, right? And then in quarterfinals, people had EDG beating them, and then in semifinals, people had Gen.G beating them, and then in finals, people had T1 beating them. Like, and I think those were all reasonable claims too. I don't think you're crazy for thinking that. Like,
I almost feel like you're still not crazy if you say that today.
Yeah, right. I mean, like on paper, going into Worlds, every single one of those matchups, the enemy team had better players, like pound for pound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a very like apt representation of their level. Like they definitely weren't bad. It's just like, I don't know, we went into it and we were like, holy shit, Gen.G's just gonna like just gap them in every single lane. Okay, yeah. they beat, you know, Gen.G. Oh, holy shit, like T1 is just playing out of their minds. They look like the best team in the world. And then that didn't happen. So it's I don't know, very it was super exciting. Easily the most entertaining, I think, finals that I've ever watched. And I would definitely recommend people watching it if they haven't already.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people who aren't into competitive league. Just please watch the fucking finals. It's so good, man. Like, it won't be better than this, so don't prepare to be disappointed a little bit next year. But holy shit, it just went the distance. Like, even in, like, game five of it, like, being crazy draft because you have, like, a bunch of draft changes. You have
fucking game five barred.
Yeah.
How cracked into fucking 4-0 Varus. Like, so crazy.
Yeah, no, it's insane. Fucking, there's like five or six Baron and Dragon steals through
what the series. What felt like a billion, neutral objective steals.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's actually insane. I guess we can talk about it like a little bit more in depth. Obviously, DRX won 3-2. The kind of standout players overall, I would say, were obviously Zekka still played out of his mind. He continued to impress the entire world, which is kind of crazy because I think most people had rated definitely the lowest out of all Korean and LCK mids. And I would say that people are rating even some like EU mids above him going into Worlds. Barrel played like a fucking crazy man. He played like a crazy man all tournament though, like to the point where I think half the comments in our Discord were, holy fuck, dude, Barrel is trying to lose the game. And then half the comments were, holy fuck, Barrel just won the game.
Yeah.
And then obviously fucking, I think the weakest part of their team, like going in, like on paper was Kingen, who I think should be the MVP. I'm not sure who won MVP, should be the MVP of the series though. Like his Aatrox games were action matched.
Yeah, I agree. The amount of pressure he was just able to exert as Aatrox was absolutely insane.
The fact that Zayo's underperformed for sure, but like,
I mean,
paper, Kingen should never win that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, with regards to underperforming, I actually felt like Zekka had a pretty down series compared to whatever he was.
He wasn't solo killing people in Zayo the entire time.
Yeah, which like shouldn't happen at Worlds. But he was doing it every single game versus every single mid laner, so it was okay. It was a little expected. But and credit to T1 for being able to shut him down. But yeah, it was just crazy how I feel like if I say plot armor, it's going to take a little bit away from like what DRX was able to perform and do. But it really did feel like DRX had plot armor, right? Like whenever a miracle play had to happen, like this was the game. It always happened and it always was. You know, someone you wouldn't expect. It was Deft, you know, playing really, really well on Caitlyn in game five, who hadn't been picked up to that point. She had been banned the whole time.
Yeah.
But like beating the undefeated Varus pick with fucking game five Bard, Kingen going absolutely insane on the Aatrox pick, like getting solo kills on Zeus, who was supposed to be probably the best player in the world, let alone the best top laner. Like it was just a lot of like really unlikely heroes. The fact that Pjosic didn't just like alt F4 the game after having just a fuck ton of objectives stolen against him.
Yeah, I think that's another thing we should talk about really quick, because I think a lot of people are pretty down on Pjosic, which he definitely was, I would say, a weaker member of DRX for the most part. Owner also played really fucking well the entire series, to be fair. And then also, I do want to talk specifically about the steals, the Dragon steals and the Baron steals. first of all, in League of Legends, this is a huge thing that even happens in solo queue. Junglers get blamed for like losing 50-50s all the time.
It is it's a team.
Mm-hmm. It is a very much a team thing. Like setting up vision, setting up pressure, making sure their jungler can't get in. All these things, timing your damage for smites, all these things are team elements. And all the onus definitely falls on the jungler for think he did or didn't do it, right? That being said, I also wanted to mention that like versus Lethality Varus can do more damage than smite. Especially when like those shots were like he's shooting it from fog and shit like that. I don't know, man. If you don't have the vision set up, I don't think that's his fault at all. Like,
no, I don't think so either. Like, so I will walk back what I said in the Discord that that the execute does more damage than smite like every single time. The bonus magic damage from empowered Varus W plus Q caps out at 360 versus monsters. But it's 360 plus level 5 Varus Q combined with level 5 lethality Varus Q.
Yeah, he's doing 1,000-ish damage, give or take 100, right? Which means it's contesting smite, right?
Yeah, and the times that he stole it, you know, there were times when it only did 800. And, you know, on paper, you will be saying, well, that's less than smite. But it's not like so much less than smite. How many times have you gotten a dragon to like 815 before you smite it, or even like 400 before you smite it? Someone dealt a lot, like a large amount of damage before you're able to get it off. And then like, that's that, you know? But I don't know. I don't really get the flame towards him because I feel like any jungler with any perspective on like, oh yeah, okay, like that definitely was just a 50-50, and like you absolutely can lose 7 50-50s in a row and it not be out of the question.
Oh, for sure. You know,
like it's definitely not PO6's fault entirely, like solely that they lost so many objectives. But on top of that, the fact that his team was not only like willing to stay in the game and continue to play the same way, they were even confident going like, yeah, we'll just play and we'll go for all these objectives that have the possibility to be stolen, and we'll just do it every time because we just trust you. Like, how sick is that, you know? And they were rewarded for it, which is like super, super awesome.
Yeah, they just played really well as a team like the entire time, which is really awesome to see. It was overall like just a fucking sick finals. I don't know. Everyone played like well in their own aspects. Like even on both teams, like still like even Zayus had like a pretty bad performance overall. His Yone game one was still fucking insane.
God. Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm convinced that Yone is just like not a balanced character in pro play. Like I think you can just play the lane safe enough that you just make him work. You get enough items and he just 1v9s.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad we got to see like a bunch of Heimerdinger because that character is fucking super OP. I'm glad we got to see a bunch of Renata because Renata is the fucking best support in the game enjoyer for months now. And I think
it is so fun. It is so fun to watch like godlike Renata ults.
Oh yeah, the high level Renata versus low level Renata is actually insane. It's same thing with even like Maokai. Like Maokai ult is such a boring ult. That being said, when you set it up from flank. Like, but when you set up from like a flank, it's so fucking sick. Like just using it like on face value is boring as fuck. But like setting it as like almost like a your ultimate is its own flank champion is so cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I love the sort of micro like changes we were seeing with the draft. I mean, how many times did we see Renata Ornn, where you know you Ornn ult to force them into the hostile takeover, which was so sick. Like it's so cool to see. Or hey, you get hit by both and then hostile takeover's proccing Brittle while you just are killing your team. Like it's so cool. And part of the reason which I want to go back to, like, hey, like best of series are the most fun way to enjoy professional League of Legends because there are a bunch of, you know, iterations that happen and changes that occur throughout a best of series. But I don't know. And then I think the last thing that I want to highlight is like, I really think that DRX's coaching staff might be like the fucking goat. The amount of times they just draft gapped. That's it. Draft gapped. T1 in the finals was insane. I mean, how many times were we sitting together and we're like, holy fuck, how does T1 possibly win this game with this draft?
The drafts were like really, really good. Mm-hmm. I hate shitting on like it's more like a funny thing than like shitting on teams. I do think it's funny that game five came down to both teams willing to fucking flip an elder.
Yeah, it all came down to like, all right, we're just doing this, you know?
Whoever gets this elder wins the game. Good luck.
Yeah.
But it was fucking sick. It's actually so much fun, dude. I've never had more fun watching League of Legends. Part of it is watching it with your friends. I think it's just like a lot of fun. But also I think it being a competitive series made it just that much more enjoyable.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt, it was a combination of the two. So we picked a good one.
Oh, for sure. Cool. Let me make sure there's nothing else I missed. Oh, other cool things. This marks with Zekka winning 7 years of different Korean mids winning every single year for like the past 7 years.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, it's super
how
sick.
Unlikely as well.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, it just shows you how like deep the talent pool runs. And only other thing I want to mention is that, so for next year's Worlds music video, you know how they did Rise where it was like Ambition's journey?
God, it's gotta be Deaths, right?
It has to. Like, it has to be DRX. It has to be, like, a recap. Like, it's the best year ever to recap this.
Yeah, it is literally the Riot dream. Mm-hmm. And it would be definitely unfortunate if they didn't.
Yeah. Oh, only other thing I want to say is, like, I think that people are automatically also assuming that DRX is now just going to be, like, a best team ever.
No.
I think they're really, really good. Yeah. That being said, I do think it's like one of those things where like lightning might not strike twice, you know what I mean, in the same spot. Mm-hmm. Where I think all their players, they played awesome, and people like Zekka like seems like he can be a world contender mid. I do think they fucking got a really good meta though as well. Like,
yeah, they, and I think they 100% punched above their like weight class as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, fucking, but like Zekka in regular season, he really is an Akali Sylas 2-trick.
Yeah.
And he plays Azir, but I'd say Azir is probably the weakest out of like most mids in like, say, semis after like semis sort of thing, maybe even in the quarters, right? But the fact that like, not only is he in a meta where there's kind of just three good mids at the tournament, and he fucking is a, like a 2-trick of two of them.
Yeah.
But also they're not strong enough that they're banned. Like all three of them are banned ever. So, yeah, it seemed like that's the perfect storm for like a player like that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But hopefully he does well. I mean, I just don't know if he can keep that level up if like the meta changes, but I would love to see him continue to do well. Like it's super, super sick seeing new talent.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Cool. Is there any other like news that you want to talk about? I feel like there's one.
There's, are you talking about the NA rumors? Is that what you're
talking
about?
No, I'm talking about the Fnatic confirmed.
Yeah, let's talk about like, just like, we don't want to talk about too many rumors because they're boring, but there's some crazy ones. The first one being, Nick mentioned, Reckless is returning to Fnatic as their AD carry, and Upset doesn't have a team next year.
Yeah, absolutely insane. So I didn't follow LEC very much, but it seemed like Reckless and who was the support that came in?
You were gonna say Upset and
Upset and God, it was who's the song. Support that? No.
Hillsong was there.
I mean during Worlds, like he stepped in.
Oh,
for their
Rocks.
Sub. Yeah, it seems like Bean it seems like those two were just so good.
Yeah, both right? Bean and Rocks are really, really good. No, I also think that just in ULCS, I'm not someone who thinks Upset's the best AD carry to you. I think they're very comparable. I think Comp, Neon, Upset, even Unforgiven are all very similar. I think Flax was probably a little bit below them, but I think it's interesting replacing Upset with Reckless, unless, I mean, he seems like he's probably just someone who's hard to work with based on previous changes. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where we'll talk about this with the NA rumors as well, but there is something to just having brand value of a player. Getting a slightly worse player, but having brand value. I mean, Reckless is the second most popular Western pro player in the world.
Mm-hmm. This is definitely like, Faker will never not be on T1 because he is the most popular League of Legends player of all time. And that's a good thing.
And that's it's smart. The same thing with like so the rumors, the other rumors that we're going to talk about really quick is that the 100 Thieves rumored lineup is the rumored keeping someday. Going to pick up Busio, who's their academy support, and then their jungle mid AD carry is supposed to be Spica, Bjergs, and Doublelift.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
in my head, unless they're paying these players not as much as you would assume they're paying these players, this is not an efficient pickup for them, right? I think Doublelift will do fine. I don't think he's probably worth what they have to pay him. I think Bjergsen's fine. I don't think he's worth whatever they have to pay him. Speak is probably actually worth whatever they're paying him, to be honest.
Yeah, but he seems okay.
The difference is, Nick, the brand value of Bjergsen and Doublelift is more than probably anyone else in LCS combined.
Oh, absolutely. I would almost say like that the combination of those two players is probably like a good 75% of like the region's fan base.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
It's actually insane how popular
if they come
those
back
players
and
are.
Do well too. I don't know. Man. Oh yeah. It seems like probably a good investment unless they're paying them like Bjergsen last year contract level of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, hey. That's sort of the gamble you take, right? Is trying to trade off like popularity to rake in the most money, like with the results.
Yeah, I mean, it's a business, right? Like the reality is, you can have the best player in the world, but if they're fucking just not marketable at all, they have way less value for the current way that LCS LEC teams in the world are marketed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole nother discussion that we had as well. The fact that Riot doesn't fucking pay LCS teams for like. LCS is a fucking marketing exercise at the end of the day. And Riot has probably a good idea of how much these players make them in marketing. Like, for example, if Faker plays, I know Faker doesn't use skins, right? But let's just say Faker plays Zed with the new fucking
Empyrean
skin, right? Yeah. And fucking pops off. I'm sure Riot can look at the numbers of skin purchased after that, and I'm sure they can equate a value to it. And pro teams don't see any of this, and so it's just one of those things where it's like, fuck, having good players doesn't necessarily make your team make more money. Other than like, obviously, if you make worlds, then like you can sell more sponsors on like broadcast hours and stuff like that. But outside of like doing well at worlds doesn't really change the amount of money that your team makes. Like, so yeah, there is a value proposition.
Unless you
right?
win worlds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's definitely just a value proposition of like having marketable players that also are good enough.
Yeah.
And I mean, Bjergsen and Doublelift probably toe that line like really, really well.
Yeah, I think so. I think that probably the closest we can come to seeing like that as the reality.
I guess the conversation would be like, sorry, I was going to say, I guess the conversation could be how bad could Faker get that he would still be on a good team?
I don't think so it depends because I think like I don't think he'll ever leave T1, and I think that's smart. I don't think T1 should ever let Faker leave. But will T1 remain a good team forever because Faker is on it? I'm not sure. I think like personally, his playstyle lends itself to being possible to be a good team forever. That's kind of not what the thought experiment is, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it's just like in theory, I think you keep him way past the fact of like
no I agree
up and coming player, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it's Faker. He is the face of professional League of Legends, like,
yeah,
not only in Korea or the East but in the world, like there is no one more synonymous with professional League of Legends than Faker. And I think that is sort of the case for, you know, Bjergsen and Doublelift in, you know, the NALCS as well. They are the face of the LCS. You know, if you have a list of like NA goats, it's one of those two players pretty reliably, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited. I haven't heard any CLG rumors yet, which kind of makes me a little excited.
Yeah. But
you know, it would be nice to get excited for some flashy, like, holy fuck, they picked up, you know, X player. How do they do that?
Oh, for sure. I'm really excited. But that's kind of worlds. I'm hoping people watched. I hope people enjoyed it. I hope it's going to be even more fun next year.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too. I would imagine it's probably hard to top this year's worlds, but that's sort of the dream, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Awesome. So I guess we'll hear from our friends at NordVPN now.
Thank you again to NordVPN for sponsoring today's episode of LeagueCast. With NordVPN, you can protect your online traffic, encrypt your files, generate passwords, as well as block your physical location and IP address. With our special deal that you can get access by going to nordvpn.com/leaguecast, you'll get a huge discount, 4 months free, as well as you'll always have NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. You can have access to any one of their plans. There's the standard, which is just the VPN, their plus plan, VPN and the password generation, or complete with VPN, password generation, and the encrypted file locker. Again, all of those great plans and great services are available at nordvpn.com/leaguecast. Again, that's nordvpn.com/leaguecast. Get 4 bonus months free, a discount on the plan, as well as their 30-day money-back guarantee. Thanks again to NordVPN for their continued support of the show.
All right, Aiden, you want to take us into the roundtable?
I sure do. I'm going to do a quick through because the last question was, who will win world? So I want to fucking call you guys all out. So from our Discord, Actual Yordle said DRX. Wallace said DRX because it's Death's birthday.
Casey Wait, Stranger I'm sorry. Said, did Actual Yordle pick fucking DRX as well?
I think so.
Holy, they just went absolutely Super Saiyan in our fucking pick'ems then.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Casey Stranger said SKT. Tyler said DRX. Last Samurai said DRX. From our Twitter, I thought I had this pulled up, but I don't. But it's right here. Dragon Tamer said DRX. Rainbow Honeysuckle said DRX. And that's everyone. So actually a lot of DRX predictions. That's actually kind of fucking crazy. That was like mostly DRX predictions.
That's interesting, huh?
I guess people are just high on them because it's like fun to root for underdogs and stuff.
Yeah.
But
it worked.
Yeah. This week's question is a fucking good one if you ask me. So this week's random question is, Riot is releasing a Hall of Fame skin line to commemorate players who are synonymous with champions. What player should receive a skin for their main?
That's a good question. I feel like there's a lot of like pretty obvious ones. I mean, Yurik's and Zillion. I think maybe like Double Evolution, right?
Mad Life Thresh. Frog and Anivia, stuff like that.
Yeah. But what's like an unexpected one, I guess?
I would love to see I'm a Cutie Pie Kog'Maw.
Man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Every once in a while, I go back and watch like some Cutie Pie videos, and they are so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
There's one where he plays just like full AP Galio, like the old Galio, and his ultimate like legitimately one hits someone. Fuck. I'm gonna say like Xsmithie Sejuani.
Ooh.
I think Xsmithie is like criminally underrated in NA.
I really do think this would be a good skin line, though. I feel like the fact that there are people who like to buy the pro world skins because, like, it's cool to see a character like Def's Caitlyn or Pioshik's Kindred. By the way, I guess we can say what skins they chose, which they are not fully confirmed, like, that Riot's going to do them. But the ones they chose were Kengan chose Aatrox, Pioshik chose Kindred, Zekka chose Akali, Def chose Caitlyn, and Beryl chose Ashe. And then their sub chose Maokai. So those are going to be the skins, assuming that nothing goes wrong.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, no, like, I mean, the reality is I think a lot of people would buy, like, a Mad Life Thresh skin or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they would, too. I mean, definitely seems like a pretty easy skin line to introduce as well. Gets a lot
or
of people
even, like,
really excited.
Or even better yet, fucking have content creator, like, stuff, right? Like have a Tyler 1 Draven skin.
True.
Like, that would sell like fucking hotcakes.
No, definitely would.
It's kind of
interesting that they don't have these things yet.
I mean, the Riot monetizes stuff very poorly for the most part. Remember when they announced they're going to do announcer packs like 2.5 years ago?
You remember when it took them pretty much a decade to put in purchasable splash art posters?
Yeah, and it's still like just random ones like base skins and shit.
That one was the most egregious to me because it's like this is literally just a PDF that you cannot possibly lose money on because you only sell them when people buy them.
It's so dumb, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Cool.
Let's move on to you can tell you if you want to answer who you think deserves a Hall of Fame skin. You can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail at leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leaguecast.
Cool. Let's hear from Feeding Frenzy, who says, "Hey guys, wanting to have a little bit of a rant about upcoming changes to the jungle in season 13 and see what your opinion is on it, but I'll try to keep it short ish. I'll start this off by letting you guys know that I'm 330k mastery fiddle one trick, and I'm high bronze at the moment, although I don't grind rank too much, and I'm one of those people who thinks that they are being held back by their teammates, although in all fairness, I know that there's a lot I need to work on to improve. Anyway, with the upcoming season 13, there are two jungle changes that I'm very much not a fan of. These are the fact that you can do less damage, when invading camps, and that you can no longer leash two camps together to clear multiple camps at the same time. The first of these two is slightly more understandable to me. Getting your jungle stolen, especially when jungle is an off roll or fill, can put you behind and make jungle less of a fun role to play. I tend to invade early though, so this sort of goes against my playstyle. The second of these two is what really gets me, especially as a fiddle player. What is the reason to stop multi-camp clearing? First off, it's not something that every champion can do well, if not at all. Only a few champions can actually clear two camps at the same time, to my knowledge, especially in the early game. In the new season, you can still even leash camps and finish them as the timer patience runs out. So it's really just hosing the few champs that can multi-clear, and there should be a benefit of playing those champions. Secondly, all it does is increase clear speed for the opposing jungler, and that is really the reason people don't want to play the role. Is that the reason that they don't want to play the role? Newer junglers often also more often play tank and engaged junglers such as Warwick or Sejuani, which care even less about farming, rather than a jungler like Fiddle or Karthus, as I tend to think these champions take much more of an understanding of the jungle as a whole, and therefore aren't friendly to new players. What are your thoughts on these changes? Do you really think that this will make more people want to play the jungle role? Is the reason people don't play jungle because of the skill requirement, or rather because they prefer laning? As per usual, sorry for the length of the email. Cheers, Feeding Frenzy."
I guess we can just give like the riot reason first, and then we can go to our opinions.
Yeah.
The main thing is that, yeah, no one plays jungle, and they'll do anything in their fucking power to make it a more playable role, which I think you identified most of the reasons why that, but that's just the gist of it, is that no one wants to play the role. They think that making it easier and more clear will help that. And I from my own personal opinions, I'm opposite. I think the reduced damage to enemy jungle camps is a whack change, mostly because I don't like arbitrary just changes, like arbitrary, like, hey, you do X percent less damage. Yeah. Same with, like, the ARAM changes. Like, I think those are fucking weird. By the way, did you see the fucking new ARAM changes where they're starting to change, like, how much ability haste certain abilities get on the map and stuff like that?
I hate that.
Like, they're just trying a bunch of shit like that, which I understand the idea is, like, they're trying to make it so you don't just have to nerf numbers and stuff like that, but, like, it's going to be, like, okay, well, Ashe gets minus 25 ability haste on ARAM, and it's, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's fucking weird, but it just feels arbitrary. So that's my main issue with the first one. I don't mind the multi-camp change. I think it's something that will help them overall fix the jungle, because then they can just buff characters like Fiddle individually, rather than having a mechanic that you're required to know to play the character. That's my logic, which, once again, requires this change to go through A, and then B, Riot to then take the step to buff the character. So I'm living in this, like, optimal dream world where Riot takes steps, but I think that, in theory, will be better if it goes through like that. But if it doesn't, I agree, it is shitty and feels bad for you if you're a Fiddle player.
I mean, I think that's, sorry, I just fucking peaked right there, I'm sure. I think that's actually a really, like, big reason why people don't want to play the jungle. I mean, imagine There are champions that you just can't pick because you aren't familiar with their clear, right? Like, okay, I'm just never gonna, like, I have to learn how to play League of Legends, and I have to learn how to, like, play the jungle specifically for, like, Fiddlesticks. I think that's sort of a good reason why Riot would want to remove this and make it more popular. Like, I guess I understand that it's frustrating that you can't clear faster. But I think, like, viewing the new preseason changes through the lens of the current jungle is the wrong way to do it. Like, who can even really say, like, if Fiddlesticks is going to be strong or weak when the jungle changes are on the PBE. They're on the PBE already or not on the PBE?
It is also funny because Fiddle was the one character on at least the first PBE patch that could still multicamp. They're probably going to change that because they don't want multicamping in general. But it is funny that day one these changes were announced and people were like, what the fuck, dude? I can't double clear on Fiddle. And then it turns out that you still could double clear on Fiddle and people just get upset before they try stuff out. I'm not sure if you've tried out these changes yet, Feeding Frenzy, but they're also not final. And also, they have to be looked at, yeah, as Nick said, through the lens of the jungle is not the jungle currently.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, wow, I can't play versus... I'm playing single camp Fiddlesticks versus current Lee Sin, who can still clear... It's going to be probably the same clear speed, right? Like, it's not buffing their clear speed. It's just, like, normalizing everyone's to one level, right? And I think that's, like, that's a good thing. Where, boy, you know what feels really fucking bad? If you're trying to jungle and you're 30 CS down, and there's nothing you can do now. There's nothing you can do because the enemy has, a Belveth or a Shyvana, and they just, you know, clear faster than you do, safer than you do. And if you try to go for a gank and it doesn't work, then that's it. Like, you're kind of just shit out of luck, and better luck next time. Like, don't play jungle. Leave it to someone who actually knows how to clear and gank and path and stuff like that. And I think this is like good, lowering those barriers to entry by reducing the amount of knowledge required to actually just start playing the role is a really good thing for the game overall. I guess I can understand it being frustrating that your camp is gonna or your champion is gonna be different. But that's sort of what League of Legends is about: is how do you play and adapt to changes that occur every 2 weeks.
I think another thing to mention is that a lot of people are talking about like the skill expression going down. I also think there's a lot of things that could be gained in skill expression, right? Like one form of skill expression goes away and then another three are going to pop up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I just like try it at least. Give it a good chance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Let's wait until the changes hit the live server for it to, you know, be the end of the world.
Yeah.
Thank you, Feeding Frenzy. I hope the changes aren't as bad as they seem to be.
Yeah. Next is from Harry Spanker. He says, about a year ago, I decided to take a small pause from League of Legends. That pause ended up being the entire season. It feels really good to play the game again, enjoying it for what it is instead of rage queuing to get back some LP. I also missed almost years worth of episodes for the past 2 weeks. It's been really good catching up on the season and what you three have been up to. I've been really enjoying the Elden Ring arc. I started listening to Renation on Audible. It's so freaking good. Holy shit. I main Viego and Hecarim, so I was hooked within 5 minutes. Anyways, I just wanted to say hello, and I really appreciate having the podcast back in my life. Have a good one, boys. Thank you so much. That's a really, really nice email.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Harry Spinker. I hope you continue to enjoy the LeagueCast episodes. I want Elden Ring DLC so fucking bad.
It should be coming soon, like based on like timeline of other DLCs for other FromSoft games.
I hope so, because holy shit, I made a mistake by not just playing a spellcaster. wow, they have some of the sickest spells I've ever seen in video games, period.
It feels like they have more spells than any other FromSoft game combined is like the base.
Yes,
game, I feel like
I'm combined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the best way to describe it. That fucking big ass laser beam that just like you can channel and just one hit everything eventually is so sick. I love
it. The only game that I've played caster in is fucking Demon Souls, you fucking use like one ability.
yeah. I definitely think they've figured out how to make spellcasting better as the game, as they've released more games.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Harry. Next email's from Lars Dad. What's up, Wanks? I have this fantastic joke I've heard recently, so now I'm forcing you to hear it as well. A man is eating at an Italian restaurant, and the waiter comes up and asks, "Would you like any of the olive oil for your breadsticks?" The man responds, "Is it extra virgin?" The waiter then responds with tears in his eyes, "No, sir, it comes at no extra cost." You're welcome for this banger joke, but if this has to be League-related, to be read, then I guess consider this a I hate my teammates email, IDK, ciao, large dad. I was cracking up at that one when I read it and it came in.
I saw it on TikTok originally. It's pretty good though.
Oh yeah,
it's good in good in like a video content where you actually have people acting that out.
Mm-hmm. I see. He's recycling jokes then. Damn.
Yeah. Thanks, no, I'm sure it's just like popular, but yeah. Next is from Dallin, who says, hey, Lee Cass, it's your boy again. Forgot to ask you what region is your favorite in Lee. I'm personally a diehard Freljord fan, if it wasn't obvious from how much Udyr and Volibear I play. I also find it to have my favorite champions in general and the ones I enjoy playing the most and want to learn the most. Looking forward to hearing your guys' answers. Love the podcast and have a good one, boys. I'm a Bilgewater stan.
Bilgewater's so cool, but man, I feel like my heart is telling me the Shadow Isles. There's just name so many Bilgewater sick character. Champions. Huh? What'd you say?
Name a badge build. Name a
Fizz.
No, he's cool.
He's definitely the least cool Bilgewater character.
The ones that they have listed on the wiki, at least, are Fizz, Gangplank, Graves, Allawi, Misfortune, Nautilus, Pike, Tom Kent, Twisted Fate. Those are all cool as fuck.
Yeah, they're all cool. Fizz is definitely my least favorite, just because I don't think he's been involved in any of the like additional lore. It's just been Fizz exists. I don't know. Like, I feel like the Shadow Isles just has like the highest highs, right? You get the Lucian Senna. Thresh, you get the Viego, even like Maokai and the Ruin King was fucking cool.
Yeah, fucking Yorick though.
Yeah, you do get pretty low lows with the Yorick.
They have a lot more highs, I guess. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. High highs, low lows.
Yeah, it's a good region. Cool. Freljord's sick though.
Yeah, Freljord is sick. The cool thing about
Freljord is that thematically it feels like all their characters are very intertwined, like having like more CC on average on those characters for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, Brittle is in that region, Frostbite's in that region.
Tradimir auto-attacking a bunch.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, they are very auto-attack based in that region. Interesting. Freljord, I mean, to be honest, they're all good. I would say there's no bad region except for Yordles.
Bandle City, I was gonna say, right? Bandle City, yeah.
Awesome, thanks Dallin. Next email is from Fiatus. What's up, my fellow nerds? After watching a lot of Worlds, I noticed various champions being played that are rarely, if ever, seen in low elo. For example, a Felios bot or Azir mid. It got me thinking, do you think an easy way to climb out of bronze would be to learn a high school champion and then be able to gap other players simply because they don't know how to play around you? For example, that 1 million mastery Zed that is just unkillable mid lane. What would you say is the highest skill cap jungler or trickiest to master, but once you have, easiest to dominate with? Although I'm primarily interested in the jungle role, others may be interested in your insights on other roles as well. Many thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. So I'm gonna start off, and I want to say that to answer your question as faithfully as I can, Kindred is probably the best example of that. I feel like Aiden and I both agree that like, a well-played Kindred is probably the best jungler in the game. It just makes it so hard. Like, you constantly have to change how you play the game based on Marks and her ulti that it just becomes really hard. Plus, she gets to build crit, which scales so insanely well.
There's also a couple characters that like fall into the category of like, hey, if they get a couple kills, it's over. But she feels like the most oppressive, where it's like, man, if a gank goes wrong and she ends up with both the kills, it feels like it's just probably.
Especially if one of those is a mark, and if she gets lucky with first like scuttle spawn.
Yeah.
That being said, I was thinking about this because the email came in today. I think the way you're viewing this is like a little incorrect. I don't think that. If you're low elo, you should be playing these really high skill cap champions because you will get to the same point as someone who is just spamming Garen and learning the fundamentals of League way slower. And it's going to take you like a lot longer to get to the same point that you would if you just played an easy character by playing a hard one.
I fucking love Laney versus Irelia's and seeing how hard they have to fucking work for me just to like auto queue auto them.
I mean, the best example is like Aurelion Sol, right? Yeah. Where like I challenge you to play Aurelion Sol and not feel like you're trying to do the very, very most. And you just do piss all for damage because all of your damage comes from stars. And if you don't position absolutely perfectly, like every single fight all the time forever, you're just a worse character than if you would have played like Annie, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a good way to think about it.
But I think there's a reason that... a lot of like really high elo coaches and personalities really recommend you just pick up an easy champion and play it exclusively until you get better at the game, reach the rank you want to, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
Hell yeah.
So that's what I would recommend.
I played against Coog, the Aphelios guy that I'm like a fan of a couple days ago.
Did he shit
he's
on
so
you?
Fucking good at the characters. Actually, he's on my team. He's so fucking good, man. It's actually insane.
It is really cool to see, like, that being said, like, if you're really committed to that, like, pick up Kindred, because a Kindred who's just able to exert, like, pressure all across the map, like, it feels like there's absolutely nothing you can do to play the game.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Fiatus. You want to round us out, Aiden?
Oh, there's one more. I didn't even know.
There's one more, yeah.
Oat Milk. Hey, LeagueCast, I hope you're all doing great. I'm back with my second email. I've been playing some more ranked and have improved just from playing and even felt like a 1v9 player once. I'm now grinding to get gold 4 before the season end to get that victorious skin. I have a question. What is your most toxic LoL encounter? I've just had mine with ended up me getting targeted by 3 players, saving their summoner spells and abilities just to kill me over and over. On top of that, they were harassing me in alt chat. Thanks. Thank you for the great podcast. And I'm still in love with them as much as when I started listening. Oh, okay, yeah, the podcast that you're talking about. Okay, that makes sense. Hope you have a great day. Peace. Oat Milk.
Oh man, that's I'm just imagining, like, it's just losing the game, but you make one person absolutely miserable.
Yeah, no, I've done that before when, like, doing or whatever. Like, someone picked Vayne top, mm-hmm. so I just fucking camped them and we killed them like 11 times in a row. And we lost the game, but like,
yeah.
It was fun just making this person not want to play League anymore.
Mm-hmm. As for, like, toxic League encounters,
I don't think I get too many. Like, honestly, I don't think it's, like, that bad. Like, I mean, people are just fucking mean for no reason. Especially when you're a Smurf Key, people are just mean. But I've never had, like, interactions in game that are, like, weird.
Yeah, me either. I don't know. Or if we do, I guess, like, we just don't commit them to memory.
Yeah,
you know, it's important to just put those behind you and move on.
Yeah, it's easy just to go next and, like, not want to talk or whatever. Like, that's the best way of doing it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a really good answer for that. But yeah, sorry, Oat Milk. That's a little bit less exciting than I'm sure you wanted it to be. Awesome. That brings us to the end. You want to split the names with me?
I sure do.
Support. All right. Shout out to Aaron, Actual Yordle, Adrian, sadly not Joshua, Alex, Andrew, Angelholic, Angel Oholic, Anivia Jungle, Armis, Arsonist, Austin, Beer Better, Bellator, Blabby, Black Wax, Big P and Sheen, Blooper, Brady, Breedable Soraka, Brosif, Brother Dust, Chaz, Cheese for Real, Chris, Chuzix, Codio, Colton, Coin Toss, Coastal Toast, Dabular, Dalton, Daddy Kaiser, Dallin, Danman 96, Depper Dodge, David the Deadly Tiger Ghost Leal, Devin, Diggity Daxter, Dippy, Dr. Livy, Don't Be Creative, Drive Forward, Dr. Nolly, Drew, Dr. Herfurfurfur, Dream Villain J, Ellie Saga, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, X Vengeance, Foxlow, Franco Tan, Fritz, Frozen Ninja, Gabriel, Gamerwolf, George, Gray White, Gunner, Harry Spanker, Harley, Hexen, Heckenduck, H Fire, Herx21, iCosplay Gragas, IM3Dski, Ibra, and Iron Squid.
Isaac, it's in my veins. Jacob, Jagelski, Jake from State Farm, Jamal, Jowdy, Jay Picante, Jaziel, Jeff, Jesse, Jigmink, Jisoo, Joby, John, Jonah 088, George, Jordan, Josh, but not a Josh, Joshua, Calcivar, Chaos Reaper, Kyrian, Kennedy, Clevin, Colin, Amy, Koi the Monkey Boy, Colby, Conrad, Crambone, Cratch Pastor 23, Chris, Kyle, Landon, League Saint, aka Matt, aka Jocko Cock Grande, Lacona, Levi Spells Evil, Leviathan, Lisp Sync, Little Barnabas, Little Lorian, Lofi, Lucas, Madeline, Mannington, Marshall Makes No Sense, oh sorry, Mary Makes No Sense, Max and Mox, Michael, Mishikai, Milkman, Monty, Mr. Ginger, Moose Guy, My Balls, Surgeon.
and Nathan, Nathaniel, Nekoge, Nicole, Knight, Rift, Noah, NYC Poem, Nice T, NYCT, Knox, Oscar, Orden, Papakush, Ivern, Pards, Picasso, Pocky, Puff, Clouding, Purple Pipinda, Raphael, Rattlesnake, Jake, Red Lefty, RJ, Roy, Ryan, 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 Sammy, Scarecrow Jones, the Juani's baby daddy, Selfie, Seth, Stu, Stewart, Sunny, Sunny Pebble, T-Hubs, Tanner, Tanner, Thane, Les, Hamirai, Rano Gaming, Slater, Thomas, Thomas, Titties and Bitties, T. Scotland, Ty, Ty, Undertoned, Walter, Womper, Will, William, William, Wolfie, Wyatt, X, Averro, X, X Strong, Zod, Yanis, Yumi with a gun, Zorica, Zoomin, and Zyra is my champ. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, it's mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLightUpBlueBasket and LeagueCastFrost. Tweet at us at LeagueCast on Facebook or LeagueCast. Visit our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you guys for joining us.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.